Last week, we talked about always being on the lookout. Always on the lookout. Incidental evangelism. In other words, in the incidences of life. The Lord allowed Philip to overhear somebody in a chariot reading from the book of Isaiah who had no idea what he was reading or what it meant. And as he overheard that, he was ready to respond to the incidents that prepared him or that that came across his path so he could minister. And so always being on the lookout, ready to help people, ready to listen, ready to love, ready to minister. This morning is called Chart Your Course, and it's about being prepared. A planned evangelism, if you will. And as we close in on the last days, really, we have the motivation that we need as we take a look at the end times, wanting as many people as possible to come to Jesus. How many want the world to come to Jesus? For God so loved the world that He gave. That's the kind of love we're to have as well. And we're to love the people of our communities and desire to see no one go to hell, but to see everyone come to Jesus, to be delivered and set free, to have life. We're closing in on the last days, and we want to do our part. The Bible says we're here to help bring His kingdom on earth as it is where? In heaven. We need to present a living Jesus, a loving Jesus, an alive gospel to people who need Him. The gospel means good news. Gospel itself, the Word. We need to shine Jesus in a dark and weary place. You go to, I believe it was the book of Ezekiel, and he talks about the Lord being shepherd of a dark and cloudy day. There is a dark and cloudy day coming on earth. How many enjoy the news that you listen to every day? How many, let me try another one. How many enjoy paying over $4 a gallon for gas? Let's see the show of hands. Okay, how many enjoy prices going up on all your food? Come on, listen to the show. It's getting darker, isn't it? Feels like it's getting darker. The news is getting worse and worse. But you see, for the light to shine in the best way possible, the darkness has to be present. And so we're going to shine the light of Jesus into a dark earth, into a people who need the light and the love of God to come into their life. How many want to do that? Yes. Now I should see every hand. Very good. We want to present Him. We're his representatives. You know, the Bible says you're an ambassador for Christ. People need to be able to read our lives. They also need to hear our words, telling them about Jesus, who loves them, and about the good news. But I've got a simple message this morning. How do we do that? How do we do that? You know, sometimes we think that it's not rocket science, but we think we've got to have our doctorate degree in sharing gesiology or something like that. Or, you know, we've got to have all the right diplomas. We've got to have the right pedigree. And we've got to be perfect enough. You know, the old adage is, I got to be good enough to go to church. And the truth is, no, you got to be bad enough to come to church with all the rest of us who need Jesus, right? Somebody say amen. And so it's the same thing. I mean, you don't have to be perfect to share Jesus. You just have to be in love with Him. And you just have to love people enough to want to help them, to listen, to hear the hearts and to hear the needs, and to want to see God intervene in their lives today. But how do we do it? How do we share Jesus? How do we chart our course? First thing, if you're taking notes, write down the word prepare. Prepare. If you were in sales, I'm somewhat in sales, somewhat. If you're in sales, you've got to know your product inside and out that you're selling. You need to be able to overcome objections against it, and you need to be able to understand how does this thing you're selling solve problems. You know, all sales is solving someone's problem. I've got a problem. In my field, I've got a problem. I either need to sell my property or I need to purchase a property that meets my needs. There's a problem. I can help them solve that problem. In other kinds of sales careers, it's the same thing. So you learn your product inside and out. How about an educator? His or her area of expertise, they learn it inside and out to be able to help, and they understand and study people so they can know how best to be able to educate them. How about lawyers and attorneys? Lawyers and attorneys, they understand the law, hopefully, inside and out. And they most of them focus on a particular branch or a niche of that law. Whatever your profession, whether it's being a contractor, a mechanic, you want to do it to the best of your ability so your work will shine for the Lord. I remember as a very early Christian reading a story about a man who, for his entire adult career, he spent his work time underground building the inside of what they used to do, the inside of manholes, where he lined them all with brick. And the people knew this man. He was a Christian who loved God with all of his heart, and they knew whose manhole it was that they had to scamper into under the heavy rains. They would scamper into the manholes so they kind of get out of the rain if they were working on these kinds of things. They always knew who had built that manhole, or if at least if this man did, because he had done it so well. So wonderfully, not only did it shine like a work of art underground, but it kept them dry. There were other ones all across the city that weren't nearly so nice. How should we do our work? We should prepare and do it well, and we should demonstrate the presence of the Lord in all that we do. We should grow in grace, understand His Word, and be like Him in action and thinking, the mind of Christ, and study to show ourselves approved. That's what the Bible says. Study to show ourselves approved. How many have a pilot's license in the room? Anybody in the room have a pilot's license? Okay, a couple of you. When you go somewhere of any length, you prepare a flight plan, right? At least you're supposed to. All right. How many sail vessels or yachts or you know, you go any length of distance? Or how many wish they could? Let's see the show of hands. Okay. If you are going on a long voyage, you chart your course. You make sure that you're prepared and chart your course. Well, when we come to how do I best share Jesus with people? How do I be the most effective witness I can be? The best answer is prepare and chart your course. Chart your course. Look at 1 Peter 3, verse 15. And we've got some scriptures that we'll put on the overheads. Pat, you thought you had a vacation week, didn't you? I know. Now, let me give you some to put up. There we go. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. And I'll read mostly from the New King James Bible. And if you can't find it in your own scripture, just look up. We have it on the overhead as well. If you need to borrow a Bible, we have several at the back of the room. And you're more than welcome to get one. Around here, we love the Word of God. And our primary text is not men's poetry, but the Bible. Amen? Amen. Okay. Nothing wrong with men's poetry, but the Word of God is the Word of God. And that's what we learn from. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. Always be what? Always be what? Ready. Turn to each other and say, be ready. Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Out of the Message Bible, that says this. Be ready to speak up. Tell anyone who asks why you're living the way you are. And always with the utmost courtesy. Prepare. Second simple point. How do you best share Jesus with people? How do you do it? Secondly, have God's heart. Have God's heart. The Apostle Paul cared for people like God loved people. He was straightforward. He was strong. You got to tell people the truth. But he also loved people. God so loved that he gave. And the Apostle Paul was the same way. He spent his life, he gave his life away to share Jesus with everyone he could. You read about the Apostle Paul, and he was thrown in prison and thrown in jail. And who did he share with? The people who were chained up with him. You know, how'd you like to have been on Apostle Paul duty? You just knew you were going to become a Christian, right? People all around him becoming Christians. And everybody gets an earful because his heart is so full of God's heart and God's love and the love of God for people. And so everywhere he goes, he shares with people about the good news of Jesus, whether he was in jail or whether he was on board a ship. Remember in the book of Acts, there was a ship that they came into a huge storm and everybody's scared to death and they're throwing everything overboard. They think we're all going to die. And Paul finally stands up and says, I had a vision from the Lord. You're all going to be safe. Everything's going to be cool. Just trust him. Now, you'd have a real choice at that moment, wouldn't you? The winds are blowing, the gale is there, it looks like your ship's going to fall apart, and this guy's either crazy or he's got something. And he turned out he had something. He had the Lord. And he shared with them, and he shared with the people who were of his own people group. The Apostle Paul was called to the Gentiles. You remember in Scripture that the Holy Spirit called him to go minister to the Gentiles. And who did he keep going to first? Every time he went into a new community, who did he go to first? The Jews. Why? Because he so loved these people. He would go and he would share Jesus and share Jesus and share Jesus until he finally rejected him. And then he said, okay, I'm going to the Gentiles. And God would always give him great fruit among the Gentiles. But he so loved his people. Look at Romans 9, verses 1 through 3. Listen to the heart of God through the Apostle Paul. I tell the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience also bearing witness in the Holy Spirit that I have, please read it with me, great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. Why? Why did he have that grief in his heart? Why did he have that sorrow? Who was he interested in? The people that didn't know him, the Jews he was going to. Look at verse 3. Read it out loud with me. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh. Literally, the Greek in this phrase means, I wish I was excommunicated from Christ and literally cut off if that would mean my brethren would accept Jesus. Come on, church. Will you be honest with me? Who in this room has that kind of heart? You'd rather be cut off from God. I got to be honest with you. Not me. That's a lot of love. That's a great deal of love from a man who had been broken by the love of God himself. He cared so much. He said, I've got this passion, Lord. I keep crying out to these, to you for these people, and I keep crying out to these people to come to Jesus. I wish I could be cut off if it would mean they would be saved. He was beaten, rejected, shipwrecked, stoned. Also his brethren would come to the Lord Jesus. Paul lived his burden. How do you share with people? You've got to get God's heart. Remember, a few weeks ago, I said, I want you to get somebody on your heart. Have you been praying for that person? Somebody. Whether it's a relative, a friend, maybe it's several somebodies. But as you invest time praying for that person, God will transform your heart for that person. Because that only comes from God, that kind of heart. It means we got to spend time with Jesus. And we keep praying. And sometimes people have prayed for years and decades. Are you anything like me? You like fast results? Come on, let's see the honest show of hands. You like fast results? You know, we're a fast food society, you know. Fast, a long time for prepping meals nowadays is 5 minutes in the microwave, right? Oh, okay, some of you are a lot better than me. I'm a batching guy, I know. Anyway, so we want instant results, and sometimes there are not instant results. You cannot control people's hearts. Only the Holy Spirit can change a heart. Only God can change a heart. And it takes investment and prayer, and we get to work with God to see the Lord reach people's hearts. We cry out for their salvation, and we grieve when they hurt, and we rejoice when these people rejoice, and we continue before the Lord in burden for their soul. Maybe I've just described your heart burden for some of your children or some of your grandchildren. Paul would walk. You know, our society, we don't have time for anything nowadays. We multitask. You know, you get on the phone, you watch the TV, and you're doing a text message at the same time, right? You know, okay, some of you are looking at me, Lord, no, that's my grandkids, Pastor Kevin. That's not me. That's the kind of society we live in. We, you know, to reach the young generation with the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know, most often now, you don't use an old overhead. You use the sight and sound generation and sight and sound technology to reach the sight and sound generation. It's got to move. It's got to move fast, fast, fast. But you take a look at what the Apostle Paul did, and the Apostle Paul walked from city to city. You know what he was doing? He was praying. And he said, you guys go ahead and take the boat. That's a little too fast for me. I don't think I'd have the patience to be with the Apostle Paul. That's a little too fast for me. I'm going to walk. And he'd spend time with the Lord praying, God, can you imagine what were the prayers of the Apostle Paul? Well, we don't have them all written down, but can you imagine what they were? Lord Jesus, move on me so I'm sensitive to your Holy Spirit and I see the need and minister to the need, because you didn't see the same exact message every time Paul went. The gospel message was the same, but the approach wasn't always different. Paul goes into the city of Athens. He's just hanging around a couple of days. And what do you see? He's grieved with all of the gods that lined these streets, and there were thousands of gods worshipped in Athens. And so then when he stands up to share the gospel with the people of Athens, he said, look, guys, I just happened to read the inscription on one of your gods over here, to the unknown God. I've come to tell you about him. Pretty clever, don't you think? There's a man who is sensitive to the Holy Spirit. How do we share Jesus? How do we do it? We prepare. We put the Word of God inside, and we understand how to help people, and then we pray for them and get God's heart for them. What do? Take a look at Romans 1, verse 16. I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It's the power of God at work. It's the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. Jews first and also the Gentiles. Now look at the next scripture. Romans 10, verses 13 through 17. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be what? Come on, say it with me. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is God deaf? Do you think God wants to help people? God loves people more than anything. Look at the next verse. How then shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? It's just kind of reverse thinking down the line here. And how shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written. Read it with me, please. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. Look at your feet and say to your feet, hello, good looking. What you got? Cooking. That's for this generation. Okay, all right. How shall they preach unless they're sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who brings glad tidings of good things. Glad tidings. Good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Church, how many are sent? How many are sent to preach the gospel? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that. Mark 16, verse 15. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Now I know the Bible tells us to go, and that's all some people think the gospel is. Some people, that's all they believe. They just preach evangelism week in, week out, a message of salvation week in and week out. But the Bible says, go and make disciples. So there's teaching, there's strength, there's learning the mind of Christ, there's being transformed into His image. But still, the message says to go. We're all sent. We all need to speak up. We all have good news to share. Right? Make sure you tell your face every day. I got good news to share. And that leads me to my third point. Tell your story. Tell the good news about Jesus, but tell your story, how you accepted Him, how you gave your life to Jesus. This is about charting your course. How do you do it? You prepare, you pray and get God's heart, but you tell your story. Church, I'm sure you can agree, no one is exactly like you. And the person sitting next to you went, thank God. No one is exactly like you. Jesus created you special, and He created you unique. You're unique. And when somebody says, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? You can just look at them and say, I'm just being unique. It doesn't take a degree. It just takes a lot of love and a willing heart. Being what God has made you to be. Keep it simple. Acts 4, verse 20. We cannot stop telling about the wonderful things we have seen and heard. Acts 22, 15. Take His message everywhere, telling the whole world what you've seen and heard. 1 John 1, 3. I've shared some of these verses each week. We are telling you about what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. When you tell your story, some of us have honest lives. Don't spend the majority of your time exalting the sin. Exalt the Savior. I said, don't spend the majority of your time exalting the sin. Exalting the Savior. Doesn't mean you deny the sin, but you're forgiven of it. And Jesus gets the greatest part of the story. But let's take a look. How did it happen? John 4, 28 through 30. John 4, 28 through 30, the woman at the well. And Jesus is talking to this woman at the well. He's sitting down and he's not even supposed to talk to a woman hardly. And his disciples have gone off to get food and he finds this woman coming to draw water. And he begins to interchange with her and talk to her. And he says, go and get your husband. You remember the story, don't you? She says, I ain't got one. And she says, boy, that's for sure. You got five. But then the woman left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, now look at how simple. Come see a man who told me all things I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. She just invited them with her story. John 4, 39 to 42. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Now, I think this last verse is kind of humorous. I don't know if they're just kind of sticking a sword to this lady that they didn't like very well. But then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him. And we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. But the beauty is, whether it's a sword or not, doesn't make any difference. The beauty is, they came because she simply told them her story. And then they found Jesus for themselves. Church, that's what it's all about. We attract people to Jesus. We invite people to our home and to our home church And we tell them about the Jesus who saved us and changed us. Hey, I want to tell you about Jesus who changed my life. Let me just tell you about him. Well, if you're so smart, then why is there war? Well, I don't know about that. Let me just tell you about what Jesus did for me. If you're so smart, why is there suffering? I don't know. Let me just tell you what he did for me. Someday there'll be answers to all of that. By the way, how many know that war and suffering aren't God's fault? I said, how many know those aren't God's fault? We like to blame God as an excuse. Excuse me. We like to blame God as an excuse, but what we need to do is just share about His love, His life, and attract people to Jesus. Now, she told them what had happened to her. It was her story. And people could see. Remember the demoniac who was delivered? People saw him delivered and in his right mind. Frankly, where he was, it scared them. How about Paul? Paul wreaked havoc in the church when he was Saul. And people saw the change that took place in his life. How do you do this practically? Let me give you just a few points. How do you tell your story? Number one, think through what brought you to Jesus. What attracted you? What ministered to you? What changed you? How did He deliver you? How did He forgive you? What's your story? Secondly, I want to urge you to do something. Whether it's a paragraph or a page, I want you to write it down. Write down your story. Just as if you were going to submit it to Reader's Digest or Charisma or some magazine. Well, maybe some of those are a little embellished. Just use a paragraph or a page. Just write down your story. Let it clear your thoughts about what did Jesus do for you. Then I want to tell you to have some fun with it. I want you to practice sharing it. Grab your spouse, your friend, talk to your dog. Practice sharing. What did Jesus do for you? Look, church, I can't say that these kind of people were not led. I know some of them were. But how many have ever had the experience of feeling the venom and hatred of a corner street preacher? And sometimes we're afraid to share because we don't want to be that person. I'm sure there are several, many through the years that were wonderfully led by God. But I can tell you on my own occasion, I came across very angry street preachers, and whether or not I'd already given my life to Jesus and wanted to encourage them, they would turn and yell at me just like they were yelling at everybody else. What I want to urge you to do is friendship, warmth, tact, compassion. Because I think we're going to catch a lot more people with honey than vinegar. Catch people. God catches people. You understand what I'm saying, though? We'll attract more people to Jesus by our love rather than our venom. So much anger. But if each one reaches one, you can reach a friend, family members, loving, warm, attracting people. How did I get saved? I don't hear too many stories about somebody telling me I was legalistically browbeaten into Jesus. I got argued into the kingdom. There was one time I heard one person say that. He was the most unique guy. Anybody ever remember Costa de Air? Remember Costa de Air? He was a little guy, about 5'6". He had been a boxer. And he told this most humorous story about he had just given his life to the Lord, and he had been given this terrible time by his friends. They were just ripping into him and tearing him up one side and down the other about this not being a manly thing to do. And this guy was tough as nails, and they were ripping at him. Finally, he couldn't handle it anymore. And he stood up one day and grabbed a guy by the throat, and he says, "Right now, you give your life to Jesus. I want you to give your life to him right now, or I'm going to smack you." He just couldn't handle it anymore. And the guy knelt down, gave his life to Jesus, and cuffed it there. Looked at us and says, "The only person I ever argued into the kingdom of God." On most occasions, I don't encourage that kind of sharing, okay? I could just see it. Pastor Kemp told us I was supposed to smack you and get you saved. How did I get saved? How did I get saved? What's your story? Let's go back to a couple of scriptures we saw earlier. They're on there, Pat. I put them on there again. Thank you so much, if you'll just go up. 1 Peter 3:15. Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you of a reason for the hope that's in you. With what? I'm sorry, with what? Sounds like wimpness, but it's not. It's humility. It's love. It's grace. One more, the Message version says, be ready to speak up and tell anyone who asks why you're living the way you are. And always with the what? Invite people to your home for dessert, dinner, to come to church with you. Come to your home. We put a face on Jesus where people can see that He loves them. He loves us, and we celebrate Him. We attract people to Jesus. We meet them at the point of need. Let's go to the next one. And yeah, there we go. Point of need. The felt need is often what it's described as. We touch people at the point of their felt need. Remember, Philip overheard the person in the chariot reading about the prophet Isaiah and the scriptures, and he had no idea. And right there, he had a need. He was lost. He was confused. The felt need typically is that thing which touches people most deeply in their heart, the need, whether it's their kids are dying or they're ill or there's a problem. That's usually the place where Jesus begins. How many of you understand God knows right how to get our attention? He knows exactly how to get our attention. And, you know, sometimes we go through what we call the divine squeezes in life, where you can't move one way or another. I remember the Lord dealing with me in such a way that I felt like I couldn't go forward, I couldn't go back, I couldn't go up, I couldn't go down. And I finally just sat on the floor and I started to laugh, actually. I started to laugh and said, "Okay, God, you got me right where you want me. Would you like to say something to me?" Sometimes it takes a while for Him to get my attention. Oh, that's not a good statement. But that's the pace. We need to be sensitive to where people have that place of need in their life. That's where they find the grace of God. And the point of grace, if you will. And that place where then they can accept Him, surrender to Him, and they begin this walk where it's not just a get saved experience, but I move on into relationship with a Father God, and I want to be changed to be like Him, and I'm conformed to His image. We see the cross, Pat, if you'll let the chart up. We see the cross, and of course, our focus first and foremost is to worship the Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so our focus is to worship Him. But we begin at the point of evangelism, and there are events, and we've got one coming up. You have an invitation in front of you, and we'll make more. Pass them out. We're going to have a movie night. Simple. Movie and a dessert. Who doesn't like dessert? Okay. Who doesn't like movies? Well, maybe I should ask it the other way around this morning. Who likes dessert? Who likes movies? Okay. Invite people. Let them find out that church is an okay place to be. And then you move from evangelism over to discipleship, where they find and people find care, and we gather together in the presence of the Lord. Now, we've done something else, And I want you to hand these out. And I want you to take as many of these as you want, and we'll make more. We've got a new pamphlet for you to be able to use. And we're going to start a series of these pamphlets, and they're called Did You Know? And this particular pamphlet is called Did You Know God Loves You? And it's all about the Scriptures and about how to give your life to Jesus. And it's simple, and it's in English that can be understood, and it is not full of these and thous and mightest and mayest, and it's simply a presentation of the gospel. Did you know that God loves you more than anything? More than anything. And you know, sometimes it's a simple pamphlet that you can put in someone's hand. Take a look. See what the Lord says to you. I'd be happy to pray with you. And I'd be happy to talk more with you about this. Evangelism. Reach out with God's heart. Evangelism God's way. Supernatural evangelism. And then we talked about evangelism that was incidental evangelism, if you will. The incidences of life. Always being on the lookout. This morning we're simply talking about charting your course. Preparing. Praying, having God's heart, and then discovering how do you tell your story. And then the last point really is sharing the way you would want to hear. Share with somebody else the way you would want to hear about the good news of Jesus. Now you stop and, Elaine, would you come please? You stop and you go, well, how can you love people like this? I'd like to love people like that, and I know I want that kind of love in my life. Anybody like love? Yeah. Children of the 60s, all you need is love. It comes from getting God's heart. When you look at a sea of humanity around you, whether you're in an area where it's very populated or not, you don't have to look too far before you see people who just have needs. A lot of people don't come to church because they don't think it's relevant anymore. But what they need is a friend to say, not only is it relevant, Jesus met me, and I know He can meet you. But there's a way you can relate to this kind of love. Let me see a show of hands. How many have a little doggy, a little pet? Is that pet important to you? All right, must be the other show of hands. How many have a little kitty? Okay, and I'm not going to give any other options. No cobras or rats, nothing like that. Little doggy, little kitty. Anybody who has pets will appreciate this. True story. Mary and her husband, Jim, had a dog named Lucky. Maybe you've heard this story. Lucky was a real character. Whenever Mary and Jim had company to come over for the weekend visit, they would warn their friends, now listen, don't leave your luggage open. Because Lucky's going to help himself to whatever strikes his fancy in your luggage. Now, some of you can smile at me and say, is that like your little doggy? Inevitably, somebody would forget. And something would come up missing. But Mary and Jim, before the people would leave, would simply go down to Lucky's toy box in the basement. And there they would discover amongst Lucky's other treasures would be the person's missing belonging. Tucked away nicely. Lucky always stashed his finds in his toy box, and he was really particular as a puppy that his toys stay in his box. Then it happened that Mary discovered she had breast cancer. And something told her inside her life and inside her heart that she was not going to live through this process. She thought she would die of this disease. In fact, she was confident that it was a fatal disease. When they scheduled surgery for her, a double mastectomy, fear was riding through her life like a train. The night before she was to go to the hospital, she just cuddled with her dog named Lucky. Then a thought struck her. What's going to happen to Lucky? 3-year-old dog now, but what's going to happen to my 3-year-old dog? He likes my husband Jim, but he's my dog. Lucky was Mary's dog through and through. If I die, Lucky will be abandoned. He won't understand that I didn't want to leave him. The thought just simply made her sadder than facing her own death. Came time for surgery, and the surgery was harder on her than her doctors had anticipated. She was hospitalized for over 2 weeks, and you know that that's very unusual in today's situation. Jim would take Lucky out for his evening walk very faithfully, but little Lucky just drooped. He was whining, and he was miserable. Finally, the day came for Mary to leave the hospital, and when she arrived home, Mary was so exhausted, she couldn't even make it upstairs to her bedroom. So Jim made his wife comfortable on the sofa, and he just left her to nap. Little Lucky stood, and he watched Mary, but he didn't come to her when she called. He was afraid. It made Mary sad, but soon she was so sleepy she drifted off to sleep. She dozed. Then when Mary awoke, she awoke with kind of a start because she couldn't understand what was wrong. And all she knew was at this point she couldn't move her head and her body felt heavy and it felt hot. But panic soon gave way to laughter when Mary realized. Little Lucky literally blanketed her with every treasure the little guy owned. While he had slept, this sorrowful little doggy had made trip after trip to the basement, bringing his beloved treasures to his very special lady, and he stacked them all on top of her with every bit of love little Lucky could muster. The result was Mary forgot about dying. Instead, she and Lucky started living again, walking further and further every day until they got stronger. It's literally been 12 years now, and Mary is still cancer-free, and Lucky still steals treasures and stashes them in his toy box. But Mary is his greatest treasure. You see, some people just need to know that God loves them so much, He won't let them go. Some people, everybody, need to hear the story of Jesus and His love. That there was a Lord who went to Calvary, took your sins and mine, and He hung on a cross after being traumatically beaten with His arms outstretched, and He said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And he died. They placed him in a tomb, and 3 days later he rose again. And he loved his disciples, and then he ascended to his Father. And he ever lives, the Bible says, to make intercession for his saints. I want you to turn to each other and say, "Jesus is praying for you right now." For you see, God loves people more than anything. Say it with me. God loves people more than anything. Would you stand with me, please? Let's sing that song as we close. Lord Jesus, we thank you that better than lucky, you gave your life for us. Thank you for a simple little illustration that shows us something of your love. Most of all, your love was fully fashioned and formed and flowed freely from Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross for us, for dying and being raised again. Oh, Jesus, we receive you and we love you. Now, if you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus, this is the day to do so. He knows you. He knows who you are. He knows the need of your life. What does it take? It takes understanding that He loves you. You're a sinner lost without Him. Not a one of us can do everything perfectly. And when we miss the mark, that's the definition of the word sin, to miss the mark. When we miss it, that's sin. There's only one forgiver of sin. His name is Jesus. Ask Him to come into your heart today to be your Lord and Savior. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, everyone pray. Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I know you're the Savior. I'm a sinner. And I repent of my sins. I turn away from them now. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. I surrender my life to you. Lead me your way. And by faith right now, I receive forgiveness. And I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord. If you've prayed that prayer, you've just given your life to Jesus. I urge you, come up and see me afterwards and let's rejoice together. If you need prayer in your body for physical healing, come on up. Let's pray afterwards. We believe the Lord physically touches His people with healing and with health. God is a miracle working God, isn't He? Now, Lord, I pray your blessing upon your people that have risen early to come into the house of the Lord. Bless them, strengthen them as they go forward into this day. Let there be joy in their hearts. And, Lord, we pray for great opportunities to share you, to give away these pamphlets, to invite, to desert in a movie, and to help people come to Jesus. We thank you for this great day. And thank you again, Lord, for Memorial Weekend. We celebrate the lives that were shed and the blood that was shed, lives given on our behalf. Bless the families, Lord, that have lost loved ones in the military. And we pray you'd be lifted up and glorified as well. We worship you, and all the people said, Amen. Amen. God bless you.